Welcome to Radio SIH, dedicated to improving the health and well-being of all people in Southern Illinois. Here's Deborah Howell.
Welcome to Radio SIH, brought to you by Southern Illinois Healthcare. I'm Deborah Howell, and our guest today is Dr. Jeffrey Lehman, who is board certified in allergy immunology, internal medicine, and pediatrics, and currently practicing with SIH Medical Group. Welcome, Dr. Lehman.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. What are some of the primary immunodeficiency diseases we'll be talking about today?
Well, it's just kind of not anyone in particular, kind of just to get the general public aware of certain things that occur with patients with underlying primary immune deficiency. There's, you know, roughly about 200 known diseases, so I wouldn't focus on any one in particular.
Sure. Over 200. And most are caused by hereditary and or genetic defects?
Exactly. Most of these, in fact, about 60 to 70% of the patients affected are typically male, because the majority of the diseases are inherited via the X chromosome.
Okay. Who does PI? I guess we'll just call them PI, because that's a little bit easier than saying primary immunodeficiency diseases every time. So, who does PI affect?
Well, it can affect anybody. Obviously, majority of these are congenital, so they're inherited, and so a lot of times, but not always, you'll have a family history.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, not a known diagnosis from the family history, but usually somebody who's had a premature death, you know, that's not cardiac related or some other reason. So it can pretty much affect anybody. Typically, you know, look for certain clues. Typically, patients who have recurrent infections that usually tend to last too long or are prolonged and require multiple rounds of antibiotics or even hospitalization. Occasionally, these are patients that have tried multiple antibiotics and continue to have the same problem over and over.
Mm-hmm.
I guess when you look at kids with recurrent infections, you kind of can group them into four categories. You have the normal child who has, unfortunately, recurrent upper respiratory infection.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have a child with an allergic disease that can also predispose them to getting recurrent infection.
Right.
You may have a child with a chronic condition such as chronic kidney disease, which can lead to somewhat of a depressed immune state.
Sure.
And then you have a child with an immune deficiency.
How is PI diagnosed?
Well, a lot of times, obviously, one of the most important things is history, and get a good history to see, you know, some of the typical things that you would see, especially in more severe immune deficiencies, would be failure to thrive,
mm-hmm.
Which so obviously poor weight gain. And then once you get a good history, find out what types of infections they've had, how long they've lasted, how often they're occurring, any other you know, signs that they may have. And then typically is we assess the immune system by blood work.
Okay.
And so what we look at is we'll look at all their white blood cells, look at their number, make sure they're normal. Then we'll look at their antibody levels. And then most importantly, if kids have received their vaccinations like they're supposed to have, the most important test that we can do is we can actually look at the function of their immune system by looking at their response to vaccine.
Really?
We're a little bit, the evaluation is hampered by patients who have not received vaccine. And that way it's difficult to look at the function of their immune system.
Right, right. Well, what are some of the symptoms of PI?
Well, like I said, failure to thrive would be a common one. So kids mm-hmm. obviously aren't growing like they're supposed to, even though they're eating normally.
Mm-hmm.
And this is usually due to the chronic inflammation. So failure to gain weight. And then obviously recurrent infection. So some kind of red flags or warning signs would be the need for multiple rounds of antibiotics to treat an ear infection or to treat a pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
the need for intravenous antibiotics or hospitalization. And then somebody who's had, you know, 2 to 4 sinus infections in 1 year or 2 pneumonias in 1 year.
Yeah. I guess you should be suspicious if you have an infection that is severe, persistent, unusual, recurrent, or runs in the family. Do you have any other things you'd want to add to that list?
No, that pretty much covers most of it. I would say most of the primary care physicians are pretty good about this, but, you know, occasionally we do have, they usually will pick up on the obviously more severe immune deficiencies, and there are some subtle ones. And so somebody who has a genetic defect that is not quite as severe as, you know, somebody else who has the same disease may have, you know, less severe infections, less frequent, but still may have an underlying primary immune deficiency.
Sure.
So a lot of things that the primary care physician can look at, especially the first time they evaluate a child, is to look, you know, for the presence of lymph nodes or tonsils, because one of the signs of having an antibody deficiency would be absence of those. So you should always see tonsillar tissue, or you should always feel lymph nodes on exam. It's not abnormal. In fact, I get more concerned when I don't feel those things.
Okay. Yeah, that's one of the first things the doctors always do as a kid. They'd feel the lymph nodes under there, and I always wondered what they were feeling for, and now you've explained it.
Right. And these, you know, the problem with primary immune deficiencies, the Immune Deficiency Foundation is trying to get more people attuned to the fact that people, you know, these are still uncommon diseases, but, you know, they're still around, and to kind of be thinking about those in the back of your head when you're seeing patients.
Right.
To kind of pick up on these things, because I've seen kids who have antibody deficiency who don't have tonsils, can't feel lymph nodes anywhere in their body, and, you know, these are thin kids.
Yeah.
And that's something that could have been picked up sooner.
Sure.
It's estimated that, you know, diagnosing an immune deficiency is usually delayed between 9 and 10 years.
Really? 9 and 10 years?
Yeah.
Wow. And by that time, you know, I mean, things could have been done to, I'm hoping things, are there things that you can do to ward these things off?
Oh, definitely. The most common treatment for especially antibody deficiency would be to get replacement antibodies. So we call it gamma globulin or immune globulin.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be given IV infusions once a month. Now, with technology, we've been doing subcutaneous infusions, so the patients do them on their own time at home.
Oh, that's great.
Kind of like an insulin pump.
Sure.
And do them just once a week. And, you know, to be honest with you, these patients, you know, they may not have any B cells, never produce an antibody, and you put them on replacement therapy, and they're no different than anybody else out there.
That's fantastic. I'm glad to hear that.
And then there's certain combined defects, such where you get, you know, part of your cellular immunity. Because when you look at your immune system, you have the cellular immunity, which kind of you use to attack viruses and fungus. Then you have your antibody-mediated immunity, which is used to target mainly bacteria. And then you kind of have your innate immune system, which is our scavenger kind of white blood cells that kind of destroy both viral and bacterial pathogens.
Okay. I have a question on the diagnostic front. What is Think Zebra?
So the Think Zebra is what the Immune Deficiency Foundation is they kind of use as their little caption.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the reason they say that is kind of through medical school, we're kind of trained to look at the most common things when you see a patient. If you hear hoofbeats, think horses. And what they're trying to get is, yeah, obviously primary immune deficiencies are rare, but we need to think about them. So they're kind of using that as their slogan to get primary care providers to think of the unusual things that could be causing
that
illness.
Not a horse, but a zebra. When
exactly.
You hear hoofbeats. Okay, I love that. That's great, because, you know, there are zebras among us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So don't always look at the elephant in the room. Kind of think outside the box.
That's right. What are some of the treatments that you personally favor for immune deficiencies?
Well, I mean, it depends. So if you have a defect in the cellular immune system, such as like severe combined immune deficiency, that's kind of a combination of both antibody and cell-mediated. Those typically are initially started on a replacement immune globulin, and then they go to bone marrow transplant. Mm-hmm. And most of them do pretty well. But most of the immune deficiencies don't do well with bone marrow transplant. So what we do is we provide them with replacement gamma globulin. Now, okay. There are some patients who have subtle immune deficiencies, mainly a defect in antibody production, mm-hmm. but they're kind of leaky, so they do produce some antibody, so they may be able to fight off some infection. And those patients, a lot of time, can do well on just chronic prophylactic antibiotics.
Oh, really?
Yes, and I've had several patients on that, but I would say the mainstay would be getting replacement antibody infusion.
Okay, so it sounds like there are several options, and of course, the thing to do is to just constantly be in touch with your primary physician, and if you need a specialty physician, he will refer you.
Exactly.
Well, we do thank you so much, Dr. Lehman, for being on the program today to talk to us about PI. It was really informative. That's our show for this week. Please join us again for another edition of Radio SIH, brought to you by Southern Illinois Healthcare. I'm Deborah Howell. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.